Welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Jaguars. I'm your man, Tony Wiggins. For any of you guys out there that are new to Locked On Jaguars, I've been covering the team for about 10 years now. And whether it's terrestrial radio here on Locked On Jaguars or even doing a little TV work, we try to give it to you here daily on Locked On Jaguars because it's your team every day here, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Look, lots of folks have been asking and making comments about Urban Meyer and his coaching staff, and have asked me my opinion. What do I think about the hire so far? Darrell Bevell is the offensive coordinator. Brian Schottenheimer is the passing game coordinator. I guess that might be also the quarterback's coach. I'm not really sure. George Warhop was retained as the offensive line coach. He's made some solid hires with people who with names that you know from around the league. Of course, defensively, Joe Cullen was named the defensive coordinator from Baltimore. There's rumors that Charlie Strong will be joining the staff as well. Look, I don't know. Chris Ash will be the defensive backs coach or one of the defensive backs coaches. I can't tell you. Whatever you want me to say or anybody, and I don't know, and everybody can have an opinion, but if you really want me to have an opinion on the staff, and be honest with you, I'm always going to keep it 100. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I don't know. I mean, first of all, who am I to say whether or not they're good coaches or bad coaches or whatever it is Urban's trying to accomplish? And, you know, I don't know what the direction they're trying to go in. I don't. I know they're trying to win, but I don't know. I really can't tell you if he's accomplishing his goal because I don't necessarily know what that individual goal is other than to win games. I mean, I don't know the details of it. And you know, I don't know if I'm qualified to tell you whether or not Urban Meyer is doing a better job of building his staff than we all want him to do. The part of it that I do like is he appears to be getting guys that he's getting coordinators and then he's allowing those coordinators to get guys that they're comfortable with. And I think that's a good thing. He's also filling out the positions with guys who have had experience above the things that they're actually doing. I mean, Chris Ash has been a defense coordinator in college, and he's going to come here and coach secondary. And he's been a defense coordinator at big schools. Joe Cullen, of course, is coaching up, but he's an experienced guy who comes from a good pedigree and a good system. And it's the type of system that a lot of people around here wanted, and that's what Baltimore is doing. He's going to have two linebacker coaches. One is familiar with Cullen, and one is familiar with Urban. That tends to tell you that they're going to be a little bit versatile. And if you're going to distinguish between inside and outside linebackers, that kind of tells you that, you know, they're probably going to run a little bit of a 3-4 and 5-2 of variations of things that you – where they mix and match, and that's good. And that's going to tell you that they're going after football players as opposed to going after guys that fill in positions. And that's the one thing – that we've all been wanting. We just want the best players, and then we want a system that takes advantage of those best players, not the greatest system, and then try to go out and find guys that fit that system. That to me, that's a big time mistake, because then you're still at some point you're gonna have to lean on your best part, which that should not be system. That should be people. People should be what you lean on, not system. You feel me? Especially when it comes to defense. Systems don't make plays. Bill Parcells said it better than anybody. Bill Parcells said, we can get you so far. I think he was like saying, we could get you to like the NFC Championship game, but in order to win it, it takes the players. I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but it was something like that because it was years ago when he says, coaching only goes so far. You got to have people. So the Jaguars are going to leave themselves or put themselves in a position, I believe, to just draft the best people and then build a system around those people and what they do well. Yeah, I was so sick of cookie-cutter football, I didn't know what to do. Base football, cookie-cutter football. This is what we run. This is our shell. Now let's go find the little pieces that can fit in that shell. I also like the thing that Urban's doing is he has a lot more front office positions. They have a lot more front office positions, a lot of fresh eyes on stuff. They have a lot of people looking at a lot of things. And I've told you guys before that if you go on the coaching charts and the coaching directories around the league and you look at the teams that are winning and doing well, with the exception of maybe the Patriots. The Patriots probably didn't do this as much, but they have a lot of continuity in New England too. But when you look at the Chiefs in their front office, as well as their coaching staff, they got a quality control guy for everything. You know what I'm saying? It's just fresh eyes. And so for as many people that thought that having a coach-centric team and a big-name coach meant big ego, you're wrong. You're wrong. If Nick Saban had a big ego at Alabama, why does he have 20 analysts? Why? Why does he have a lot of former head coaches hanging around? Why? It's because it's not ego. You know what he has? He has a desire to win and be the best, and he wants people to show him stuff that he might not see. To me, that's humble. And I think that's what Urban is doing here with the Jaguars. I'm going to take a look at some more of you guys' drafts, as we've been doing all week. And I'm going to throw a few names out, because a couple of extra names, I told people, we've been getting the same names on these mocks, man. We've been getting the same old names, right? And then in our last segment, I'm going to have a little fun. I'm going to replay a little bit of the national show that I did with James Rapine of Locked On Bengals and Sports Illustrated, where we discuss what would you do? What would you do if you could have either all of Alabama's prospects or you could have all the prospects for two other teams in this particular draft that's coming up? It was an interesting conversation. You'd be surprised that both of us kind of took those two teams as opposed to taking all the players from Bama. And we explained why. I'll have that for you in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. But first, I'm going to look at some more of your drafts from yesterday. And I'm going to name a few names that interest me. And I'm going to tell you exactly why those names interest me. And we'll do it in just a second here on a hump day on Locked On Jaguars. All right, right back at you guys on Wednesday here on Locked On Jaguars, man. It's going to be fun for me. I get a chance to show you guys exactly what I do on Wednesdays on the national show with James Rapine. You guys are going to have a chance to hear that in the next segment. I got to remind you, though, to get more of the sports you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. So I'm looking at these drafts that everyone's been sending me, and you guys have done some fabulous work here, man. Some really, really good work here. It's almost too good. And what I mean by that is a lot of these drafts are looking just alike. They're really looking just alike with the same names and the same people. And that's what you have to be wary of, because no one gets all of these picks right. And I know everybody's doing the best job that they can do. I got one draft where somebody traded up. Let me see who is this? Keith Shoemaker, my man. He traded up and actually went up to 14 and got Kyle Pitts. So he got rid of some of the Jaguars' ammunition in the draft and went up and got Kyle Pitts at 14. And I know there's a lot of people around here who would love that. Of course, after getting Trevor Lawrence at number one, He somehow kept the 25th pick in the draft and took Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle out of Vitek. Oh, I see what he did. He got rid of the 33rd pick overall and probably a pick from next year is what it looks like, because he was able to get Trevon Mooring in the second round as well, along with in the third round, the Melvin Fau kid out of the cornerback out of Syracuse. So that's a good draft. And then coming back and getting a big Tyler Shelvin to go in the middle, and Kenneth Gainwell, a running back out of Memphis, then grabbing Tamorion Terry. Yeah, so it looks like this is the trade. It looks like the trade that he made would be to get he got Kyle Pitts. He traded the 25th pick. No, that's not the trade. I don't know. I'm confused as how he was able to do this, but in any event, it looks like what he did was trade the 33rd pick and probably a first-round pick next year to go up. And I don't think that's doable. I think that's a lot to get up to 14. You'd have to probably give up the 25th pick this year and the 33rd pick. I don't know if anybody would want the pick from next year to do that, to go that high. I know a couple of years ago, Green Bay went from the 20s to the late. The Saints went from the 20s, like 26, to like the late teens, and they had to give up a first round pick the following year to Green Bay. So I don't know if it's doable for him to do that, but it's good because it's different. And I like the fact that Schumacher went a little bit different with it. I'm going to get to my man Devin Priester in a minute because he did one I really, really liked, and it involves a name that I think people ought to get used to. Someone else did one where they got Kyle Pitts at 25. My man, Boss Man Craze. First of all, I'm going to tell you what his free agency signings were. He got Marcus Williams, who I love, Leonard Williams, who I love, William Jackson, who I love, Trent Williams, who I love. If the Jaguars are able to work that out in free agency where they get those four players, that would be an absolute home run. I think those four players would be at the top of everybody's list. I'll tell you again, offensive tackle Trent Williams, cornerback William Jackson, defensive tackle or defensive lineman Leonard Williams, and then Marcus Williams, the safety. I think it's doable. Hopefully those guys will all be on the market, but that would be an absolute home run in free agency. So now let me look and see what Boss Man did in the draft. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is number one. We don't have to say that. He stood pat at 25 and got Pitts. Liam Eichenberg at 33. If you get Trent Williams, I don't know if you need to get Eichenberg. I don't think Eichenberg can play right tackle. Trayvon Mooring, you see these names are starting to all sound alike. Trayvon Mooring, Paulson Adebo in the third round. Trey Sermon, another name that's constantly being pushed here. Marquez Stevenson, my guy. Rashad Weaver, who doesn't have a ton of athleticism, but he does have some production. Drake Jackson, an interior offensive lineman, and Lorenzo Neal, interior defensive lineman, and then Trevon Grimes. I like Trevon Grimes. I like him late, too, because he's been one of those guys that I've been picking late. So I really, really do like him. Hey, man, if they were able to pull that off, that'd be amazing. So let me get to my man Priester, Devin, because Devin has an interesting name for me, and it's one that I continue to bring up. At 25 in the first round, Devin has the Jaguars taking Gregory Rousseau. Love it. Absolutely love it. And Urban Meyer and Joe Cullen love guys like this. Long, angular. Rousseau, I've heard he's anywhere between 6'6 and 6'7. And I've also seen where his weight is big. I thought he was 255, 260. I heard he may be 270, 275. And on a frame like that, you can put 10 pounds on it. So now you're looking at a guy, 6'6", 285. That's Carlos Dunlap, y'all. That's what that is. That's raw, but that's what that is. That's Carlos Dunlap. That's a young JPP. That's a smaller version of Calais Campbell or Chris Candy. But that's the long, angular, athletic, big-bodied guy that we've seen a lot in Baltimore, especially he's young, he's a kid. We've seen those guys with Urban Meyer when he was at Florida. He can be a five technique. He can be whatever you want him to be outside, and you can stand Josh Allen up and then stand Kalavon up on the other side. But it's just about having monsters, long, angular, athletic monsters and beef in the middle. On a Joe Cullen defense, if you want to look anything like Baltimore, you're going to need guys just like that. You're going to need guys just like that. And, you know, he went from a guy that everybody thought would be a top 7-8 pick, and all of a sudden he's slipping in these drafts. And I don't know why, but he is. The one good thing about a draft like this with a lot of quarterbacks up top and a lot of left tackles, you're going to have good football players that are going to slide a little bit. And when those football players slide and you have another pick in the first round, you're going to benefit from it. But I absolutely love that, and I was waiting on somebody to put him in a draft, and that's exactly what Priester did. That's the kind of guy with that athleticism that he's a future pick, but he's also a guy you can get some stuff from now. So people may think, well, that's kind of – he's kind of almost the same thing Josh Allen is. Exactly. Exactly. You want to play like Baltimore? You get a bunch of guys look like that. You go back and look at the Ravens play. They had a whole bunch of dudes the same size as Yannick Ngakoue. They had like four or five of them. Sometimes Ngakoue wouldn't even start. Sometimes he would, sometimes he wouldn't. But they had four guys, and they all called each other in and out of the game. Watch it. Watch the tape. They would signal to each other, not the coaching staff, the players would substitute each other. That's what you want. You want to play like Baltimore and be like Baltimore? You need a number of people. You're not going to sit here and go 1-15 and be like, well, I'm just satisfied with the guys that we have. And for the life of me, I wish people would stop saying sign Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney ain't what y'all think he is anymore, man. He was okay. I mean, and I liked him coming out. I was a big Jadeveon Clowney fan. But he's been banged up, and that body isn't quite the same. And that 6'5", 270-pound guy, when he loses that athleticism a little bit and he starts getting nicked up, he's not the big, tough dude that he was anymore. And we just have to face that. But I love the Russo addition. Absolutely love it. So these are the different names that I'm talking about. This is the different stuff. And I'm glad to say that I don't actually know exactly what the Jaguars are going to do or what the absolute direction that they're trying to go in, because it leaves room for them to surprise you. And it also means that we don't know what to expect, and we shouldn't know what to expect, because if we know, then everybody else knows too. That means it's predictable. I love the fact that I can honestly tell you that as a local expert, I cannot sit here and tell you, well, this is a good choice for defense and this is a good choice. I know about people and personnel. Just get a whole bunch of these guys. Get a whole bunch of long, tall, athletic dudes. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, listen up, man. Stand by. I'm going to have some fun with you and let you hear a segment from our national show where me and James Rapine talk about drafts and talk about whether you take all the Alabama prospects or the prospects for two other teams, only two teams, in the 2021 draft. We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars on a Wednesday.
First, a word from Bet Online. Look, there's only one place that has you covered, one place we trust. The big game is this Sunday. It's Buccaneers, it's Chiefs. You're going to be watching. You might as well make some money. Go to betonline.ag, sign up for a free account, and use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. That means you could wager on how many rushing yards Tom Brady has. I think the over under is a half a yard. You can wager on the national anthem and how long it is. Any prop bet you can imagine. How many times do they show Giselle? Maybe the over under on Patrick Mahomes throwing yards. You can do all of those things. It isn't just the game or the point spread or the over under. There are so many options at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Tony uses it. I use it. You should use it. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And the weather's cold right now, at least it is in the Midwest. Not so much for Tony down there in Jacksonville, but it doesn't matter if it's cold, warm, or indifferent. There's nothing worse than getting stranded on the side of the road. It's the worst. Having unreliable transportation is the worst. Well, rockauto.com can help you stay on the road, get from A to B reliably, and they can do it while saving you money. How many places can do that? Well, Rock Auto can. They're a family business. They've served auto parts customers online for more than two decades. I've used them. You got to check them out, rockauto.com. And you could shop for parts for any number of cars, whether you drive a Corolla like me, maybe a Kia, a Daewoo. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how old it is or what it is. They got the parts you're looking for, parts for hundreds of different manufacturers. So check them out right now, rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right, man. So it's our draft segment where we discuss everything NFL draft. We're going to have a little fun today. It's because one thing I did on my local show is I asked the fans to submit mock drafts for the Jacksonville Jaguars using the Draft Network and their mock draft machine. Every single draft I got had the Jacksonville Jaguar fan base selecting four or five players from the University of Alabama, and that is unlikely to happen. So, and it's not that those fans don't know other players because it's SEC country, but what it is the Alabama players are just all over everybody's top 100, and every list that they use, they keep coming up as the next BPA, best player available. So I asked James a question earlier off air, and I'll ask him on air right now. If I gave you the chance to have the entire Alabama draft class Or I gave you the option to have the entire draft class for two other schools. Which one would you take? Would you take the Alabama group, or would you take the draft class or the draft eligible draft players for two other institutions? Which one is it, and which two schools would it be? Don't tell me which two schools it'll be now if you're going to take Alabama.
Oh, no, it won't be Bama. It's all right. I leaned Bama initially, but
You took a look at it, didn't you? Because you know I had something locked and loaded for you, man.
I'm not in on Mac Jones. And quarterback is the most important position. Last I checked, Clemson produces some pretty good talent, right? They have some stud receivers. They got Trevor Lawrence. I can roll with Clemson. So I think it's two other teams that have been in the college football playoff. And Chris Olave's decision to go back to Ohio State and go back to Columbus really bothers me, because he would have kind of been the icing on the cake here. But I'll take Clemson. I'll take Ohio State. That's what we're rolling with.
That's not
Clemson,
bad.
Ohio State. I got two quarterbacks, that are better than Mac Jones in my eyes as a prospect. You obviously have a decent wide receiving core, and obviously some trenches too, defensive linemen that I like. So that's what I'm rolling with.
That's not bad. And I knew you being an Ohio guy, that's where your head was going. doesn't matter if you got two quarterbacks, because one of them's going to be sitting on the bench. He's going to have splinters in his behind because both of them can't play. So, but I knew you were going there, but
maybe in your offense, right? James's world, they can both play. You don't even know.
Right. So the reason why now I say that's good, because it is good. Obviously, Ohio State had a boatload of players on their team. I love the tight end, by the way. They got linebackers. They got defensive tackles. Olave going back does hurt you, but you get Trey Sermon, you get another running back, a guard that's going to go in the top 40 picks. You can't go wrong with Ohio State. You absolutely can't go wrong with Ohio State. Here's what I decided I was going to do, though, if you would have chosen Alabama. If you'd have chosen Alabama, I would have said, give me Oregon and Clemson. And I know with Oregon, there's only two guys. It's Penei Sewell and Javon Holland. But, man, you give me that great free safety. You give me that great left tackle to go along with Travis Etienne, to go along with Amari Rodgers, Jackson Carmen, and of course, Trevor Lawrence. I would have taken that crew. And the reason I'd have taken that crew, I like Matt Jones. I think he's going to be a system guy. I really do. And I'm biased because he's from Jacksonville. He's actually from about 10 miles away from my house. So I love Matt Jones. And I love the running back. I love both receivers. Here's the issue with me and Bama. I love Surtain too. The linemen sometimes don't pan out as well as you think they do. Leatherwood, in my opinion, did not look very good at the Senior Bowl. I do like Landon Dickerson, though. I'm sitting right here where Cam Robinson was a three-year starter for the national championship teams at Alabama. And I'm telling you, after his first contract, the Jacksonville Jaguars should not retain him.
No. Sometimes, I agree with that, and he's one of the many linemen that are on the Bengals' radar, and I don't think fans would be excited to land him.
Right. So my thing is, I'm not as high, even though there's three linemen. It's Leatherwood, it's Dickerson, and it's Deontay Brown.
Brown's a stud too.
Yeah, I do like him. That kid is huge. Cool. But the thing is, for me, I think those linemen are always good as a collective. I don't know that when you take them individually, and you guys know, y'all had Andre Smith. I mean, just think about it. When's the last time one of those big road graders that you saw crushing everybody from Alabama went to the NFL, and DJ Fluker's the last one, and he's bounced around the league, right?
Yeah, the Bengals are hoping that Jonah Williams does, but, you know, he's only played in 10, 11 games. Games in two seasons.
So they're usually really good as a collective. I just don't. So the fact is skill position players, Julio Jones has been wonderful. Ridley's been, he's getting better. Amari Cooper's been, I think.
Oh, they got some studs there.
Cooper has been better than people give him credit.
And Devontae Smith is going to be good. I think he's going to be good.
I think Waddle's going to be great.
Yeah.
But the thing is some of the corners, Marlon Humphrey's been great. Some of the safeties have been good, but others, Reuben Foster's kind of flamed out. Where are some of these people? I think what happens is when you, I think they're so used to playing good and playing together that coaches either don't know what to do with them, or when they get into these individual situations, they're just used to doing their job and trusting each other. I think they're asked to do way more than they're ever asked to do in college as individuals, and that's not what they're used to doing.
That's fair. That's fair. And heck, I was looking even more. I feel good about my Ohio State pick. You could take whoever you want, but Justin Fields, Wyatt Davis, Josh Myers, Sean Wade, I feel pretty good. We'll roll with that. And I'm not even a Buckeyes fan.
It's a good question, though.
I'm a Bearcat, baby. I'm a University of Cincinnati Bearcat. Not a Buckeye.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I almost did something else. I almost just said the hell with defense. I almost took Clemson in Florida and just said, give me Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts and Lawrence and ETN, and we'll just outscore you.
Yeah, and hell, I forgot about ETN. By the way, your Jags gonna go after Kadarius Toney if he's there at 25?
Don't know. I really don't. I haven't put my finger on the pulse of what they're gonna do yet.
Lawrence and Toney.
It will be fun. I will tell you this: Urban Meyer has a penchant for guys that are versatile, that can run after the catch, that you just put the ball in their hands and let them do things. The thing is, there's a guy like that that's going to be a free agent.
Curtis Samuel.
That played at Ohio State. His name is Curtis Samuel. So you're already looking at it. And then I also heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true that Percy Harvin may try to make a comeback in the NFL. I don't know if that's true or not.
I saw him working out the other day, or not the other day, but maybe 6 months ago. Like, there was a video, and I was like, damn.
He's a beast.
Looked like he would bench both of us. So we'll see. He's been eating his Built Bars. That's for sure.
Well, if he can bench me, he really going to need to play in the NFL, because I got some quarantine pounds on me right now. I'm telling you, I ain't benchable. But
in Percy's world, you are.
I know it, man. Hey, man, as always, it's been fun here on Locked On Jaguars. Got some great programming tomorrow. Your buddy with Ryan Tracy, right?
Yep. Yeah. So Ryan Tracy, Jake Lisco make their Locked On NFL debut, the Thursday show. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. This time next week, Tony,
we'll know.
Have crowned a Super Bowl 55 champion.
We will know. And I also know if I have a lot of money in my pocket, because I got a betonline.ag slip already in for it.
Oh, so, me too.
So we'll see.
Hey, I got the Chiefs.
You take care of yourself. Take care of that wife. Take care of that beautiful doggy of yours with that fresh new haircut. And I'll do the same down here, and I'll check in with you this weekend. All right, thank you for joining us here on Wednesday on Locked On Jaguars. Make sure you take care of each other and tune in tomorrow.